Welcome to Good Life. I'm Dean Wilson. I'm so glad you're with us wherever you are. If you're joining us here in the Santa Barbara area on TVSB, we welcome you. And so many of you are joining us around the world at all these different platforms, especially the YouTube channel and the podcast now, which you can search any podcast platform at Good Life Conversations. You can find us, and of course, you know, we're all over the different platforms, even Twitter. We're even at Twitter, bringing light to Twitter, light to a dark place. And we're talking about the good stuff, and we're talking with great people. And so the Good Life, you know, our mission here is to inspire, to encourage, to empower, to honor. And we don't ignore difficulty. We don't ignore the parts of life that all of us encounter that are suffering or challenges, because I think what we found is even that can be part of the good life. And so we're glad you're with us, and hope you'll continue to stay tuned. I'm really excited about my guest today. Larry Lewis is with me. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Coach Larry. So Larry is played professional basketball for 18 plus years. Was an NBA coach with the Lakers, with the Sacramento Kings. And then now we are fortunate enough to have him locally here in our Santa Barbara area at UCSB with the Gauchos. Head coach Joe Pasternak. Larry is working with Joe, and they've built something pretty special across town here at UCSB, so we're fortunate to have Larry in town. How's it been being in town, first of all?
It's been excellent. I mean, Santa Barbara is a beautiful place to be.
Yeah.
Not overpopulated.
Right.
So the traffic is not bad.
Right, even though we complain about it.
Even though you complain about it, because you're not on the 405, right?
No, it's not bad.
Yeah, so it's a very peaceful city on the water, and great people.
Yeah.
Great eye candy as far as the nature.
Yes,
right?
Beautiful.
It's a beautiful place. So,
yeah, so true.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
True. When you were growing up, did you always know that you wanted to play basketball?
I knew I wanted to play basketball. I didn't think about playing professionally or in college for that matter, but I always enjoyed it, and enjoying it was actually enough for me for a very long time.
You didn't have your sights set on playing professionally, you just liked it.
Right. I graduated high school, I was 6'3", about 185 pounds, was not recruited in high school. So my parents said, you're going to get an education. So I went to Morehouse College. They sent me to Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And I kept playing basketball, but I thought organized basketball was over. You're in high school, you don't get recruited. You go to school, you're a student instead of a student athlete now. So I grew my first 2 years in college about 4 inches. So by the end of my sophomore season, I found myself on the court with some of the players from the basketball team. We're just playing pickup, and they said, you know, you should try out, you could help us. So now I'm like 6'7", and I'm better because I always played anyway.
Yeah.
And I walked on the following year and made the team.
Wow.
And that turned into a 19-year professional career and into coaching and that kind of thing. I thought it was over after high school.
You grew 4+ inches in college.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I was reading your, you know, all the places you played, and, you know, you played all over Europe, you played, you know, lots of different places. A 19-year journey, what was that like?
It was amazing. It was interesting because after high school and really feeling like it was over, for that to happen, looking back on it now, it was amazing. It was a fight. It wasn't easy at all, especially going from college to being a pro. There are blood, sweat, and tears that come with that journey.
Yeah.
A lot of kids, I don't think, really understand truly what the dedication parameters are.
Right.
We all know that going from one level to the next can be challenging. This type of challenge really has you really dig into your soul. For who you want to be, who you really are, and if you have what it takes. It's a challenge.
Yeah, because every day, I mean, your body alone, just keeping your body together, I would think, for 19 years, the grind of that physically has got to be a toll.
True, true.
Which then, of course, you have to have the mental toughness, I would think, to overcome the grind, right?
And I was just going to say, my body, yes, but my mind, mind together.
Right.
So I tell our kids, you win in preparation. You win before the competition. So how we prepare, how we take our preparation seriously every day is where we really achieve and
that
where we get to the next
step. Very good thought. We win in preparation.
Yes. Yes.
I read a quote this morning. I sent it to some friends about consistency. And it was a quote about this lady who I really respect. And she was talking about all the suddenlies in my life have happened after like 15 years of constancy, consistency. The suddenlies happened because of, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That seems a little bit like what you're saying.
Yes, because consistency takes a mindset.
Yeah.
The example of the baby learning to walk. The baby falls and gets back up. Falls and gets back up. Without thinking too much about the fall.
Right.
It's the getting up.
Right.
It's the getting up. And so that's a mindset. The baby may not be able to speak yet or understand totally what the parent or the adults are saying around him or her. But the idea that I'm going to keep on doing this
right.
until it happens develops a willpower, determination, and a belief system that early in life. And I think athletes are bred and born at those moments early in life. Some children are happy with walking and running. Some children want to run faster and faster and faster and faster and faster.
And further.
And further. They want to run and jump and stop and go
right.
and get better at that. That's the difference.
Yes. I think, I could go a lot of different directions with that thought. There's a toughness. I don't like using the word toughness that much because sometimes people think it's kind of like a bravado. I don't mean bravado toughness. I mean like, how much can you take and keep going? Like, that's something that athletics teaches that I think is totally priceless. Don't you?
Yes, because the door is going to close in your face at some point.
Yes.
The sport will test you.
Yes.
So let's take a player, for example, that was the most important player on their team at the college level. That means they played a lot.
Yeah.
And then they went to the pros. And now they're not playing as much. So whether they played the previous year or didn't, they still have to train that summer. Now, after you go through that experience, and let's say it's the summer after the season you did not play, you have kind of a chip on your shoulder. There could be some disappointment, there can be some sadness there, but at the end of the day, you still have to prepare for the next season. When you prepare for the next season, now you have a chip on your shoulder, you have a more serious approach, you understand that you may not have it your way all the time, yeah. you may work harder, and so your approach is different, but without the discomfort,
yeah.
of that season, without the hardship of that season, without all the emotions, you will not get to that level of preparation and you won't get to your next version of yourself.
Yeah.
So it's the discomfort that challenges us. It's that fire that we have to get through to even make our preparation another level. That's how we get to the pro level from college. That's how we get from the college, from high school to college. That's how it comes through a fight. And without the fight, we don't dig into ourselves like we should.
We need the fight.
We need the fight.
We do.
We need the fight.
Yeah. I keep waiting for it to end. I keep waiting to wake up and like to have an omelet and like, it's never going to happen on Earth. I'm trying to break the news to myself. We're going to be fighting. We're fighting. It's a fight. you know, we can do it with a smile, like you, Joy, but we're fighting. I mean, and I told my boy the other day, what were we talking about? I was talking about winning the day. I was talking to him about winning the day, about going out and winning the job. Winning, in other words, if you get to a place, let's say on an NBA roster in your world or in my job or in somebody, the tendency can be, okay, I got the job, and then just kind of coast or kind of like, but I told him, I said, DJ, I've always had this mentality that I'm going today to the office to win my job. Like, I'm not trying to maintain something. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to, if he ends up to starting, I told him, it was in the context of football, he's trying to get a starting safety job on the varsity this year. And he thinks he's got it, right?
Good.
I said, every single day you go out there, you've got to win the job. So you almost have to pretend like you don't have it. That's this thing, like, that's a mentality, I feel like.
Yes.
You think?
Yes.
So we were talking before we came on about Kobe Bryant. You worked with the Lakers. You've had some amazing, what an amazing road you've had in playing and coaching, and amazing. And I want to talk about coaches in a minute. But Kobe Bryant, so you had an opportunity to work with him. And we were talking before, you know, there's Michael Jordan, there's Tiger Woods, you know, we can count on one hand in our era, probably the guys, gals with that kind of mentality. They call Kobe's thing the Mamba mentality, right? Whatever it is. Talk about what you saw in Kobe. Like, what in the world was Kobe Bryant all about? Like, talk about him for a second.
So it's actually very, very simple. He had championships on his mind, that's it. He wanted jewelry, the rings. That's all he wanted. And the reason it's simple is because instead of saying, you know, I want to do, and this is nothing against anyone that does anything other than basketball. You see basketball players in films, all kind of stuff. Making music, great, great.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant, it was that one thing. Kobe Bryant made music as well.
Did he?
But his, yes. But his focus every day, especially during the season, and you know, was championships. He's a simple man. He wanted one thing, right?
That's it, one thing.
The difficult part is what it takes to achieve that. It's not golf or boxing or tennis when you're relying on yourself.
Yeah.
You're on the court with four other players on your team and five other players on the other team. And you have some referees that may not like you. We won't get into that, though.
Right. Nah.
So there's a lot that has to happen to win a championship. He can depend on himself, and he did that. His preparation was off the charts. Sometimes Kobe would come into the building and not have a word to say to anyone. And some people would be uncomfortable by that, but I understood it. When you're focused and when you're hyper-focused, there's not much to talk about, and all the coming in, saying hello to everybody and laughing and joking and conversation, that's not really a part of the formula for that day.
Right. I love that. Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who in the offseason would go to his high school nearby and train at 6 a.m, like, mm-hmm. after winning a championship.
Yes.
Like, you don't teach that. Like, that's a decision, isn't it?
Right. It's almost like when you win a game or a championship, the next thing is to do it again. How many can we get? And that's also a somewhat of a fire. Because now the whole city is depending on you to do it again.
Right, you set the bar.
You set the bar. So now your training has to go up a notch, because to do it once is phenomenal. To do it twice is beautiful. To do it three times.
Yeah. Five times.
Five times.
I don't I don't know how those guys, how does a guy like that, when he's being double and triple teamed, everybody in the world knows who he is, what he's thinking about doing. Like, how do you, it's physical. Like, I don't even know how, I mean, that's what I, another thing I've been talking to my boy about, you know, at the varsity level, just in high school, our little neck of the woods here, I'm like, it's not now about, you don't, this is not, you know, the rec center anymore. You don't get, like, open shots.
Right.
Number one, I read about you, you talked about trim down, getting it off quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, so that's one thing, getting a shot off quickly against bigger athletic guys.
Yes.
That's a whole thing. But then the other whole thing is when you're double and triple teamed.
Yes.
And these are NBA world-class athletes. How does a guy go out and score 30 points when everybody on the team knows what he's going to do and they're going to have their two best guys? I mean, that's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yes.
That's not like golf. Golf, you know, nobody's guarding Tiger Woods. I mean, you're hitting it. You know, it's the, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Basketball's a whole, that's a tough thing.
So to make the type of shots that Kobe made, there's a way to prepare to do that. Kobe worked very, very diligently at game shots. He was prepared for a double team. He was prepared for a triple team. Kobe Bryant was prepared to play injured. He prepared to deal with whatever was thrown at him. And see, that's why, like, you win the first championship, now you know what it takes. Now you've been through it. That's why the next summer, that preparation is different. Now you know what you're going to face at that level.
Right. Guys hanging on you.
Hanging on you. How strong do you have to be? That's weight room. Kobe practiced 3-4 times, sometimes 5 times a day. So you have to be strong. You have to have endurance. You have to be very accurate in your shot. You have to be accurate in your shot from all distances. Last second shots are usually taken way, way, way
far
away. Fading away, hand in your face.
Yeah.
Kobe can shoot. You can have your hand right here. He'll make that shot.
Yeah. And practice, that's practice.
That's it.
So this goes back to our theme. Well, I have a theme. We have a theme now. The suddenlies. Well, you know, you win in preparation.
Yes.
Your quote.
Yes.
The suddenlies. The suddenlies, you don't make the last second shot unless you've done it a million. I mean, by yourself in a gym, right? I mean, that's a lesson for people. People think, oh, boy, he's just made the last second shot. You know how many times he worked on that by himself without you watching? What a great lesson for all of us.
A great lesson. I have something, if you'd allow me to read.
Please.
Now, this is a quote from Michael Jordan. Kobe learned a lot from Michael Jordan. Are we ready?
Yes.
I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed.
So
that's
good.
The fire. That's the fight, right?
So good.
Once you learn what you're facing, and you learn what's going to be thrown at you, and then you can start create other scenarios, tougher scenarios, and you prepare in that mindset. We're talking about a player that played the whole game.
Yeah. And that's another thing, doing it when you're tired.
Doing it when you're tired. So what about doing it when you're making millions? Doing it when you're treated like the world is yours. You have shoe deals.
Right.
We went to China preseason one year for some exhibition games, preseason games, and it was like, you see how people reacted to Michael Jackson when he was on tour?
Yeah.
In China, that's how they reacted to Kobe Bryant. Grown men crying. So that's a lot. That's a lot. To have a lot of attention and to have all that and to still work at your craft to the level he worked at it, that's a mindset.
There are so many lessons so far in this interview, I can't even wrap my mind around it. That's amazing. This applies to every area of life.
Every area.
What you do in private.
Yes.
What you do when no one's watching.
Yes.
We all think it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's everything.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
That's right. That's right. That's right. I talk to kids. So I have a question to a lot of young athletes. And it is like for basketball, for example, a lot of players these days don't play in the park, the younger players. Like we used to play in the park. We used to just go to the park and play all day. Now it's, you know, coaches, scoreboards, referees, all this. Anyway, okay. Right. So here's what I think they miss in that experience, in the absence of the park. You don't develop a relationship with your mistakes. We all have to have a relationship with our mistakes. Do we beat ourselves up over our mistakes, or do we make up for it? I'll use an example. Let's say I'm playing and I turn the ball over. And in my mind, I say, wow, I just made a mistake. I'm going to go make up for it. And then I go down and get a steal. So that mindset from my turnover, from my mistake, to getting my steal, that mindset in between, my aggression goes up. I'm probably a little irritated at myself, so I'm a little more, you know, fidgety,
right?
I'm more intense. I'm more focused. And I go make up for that mistake. Now, what happens is that mindset in between the mistake and the makeup is how I need to play all the time.
Right.
We need to act like we're making up for something, even though there's nothing to make up for.
Right. That little edge.
That little edge.
Yeah.
We need that little edge, and we need to use whatever we can to get that little edge.
Yes.
We are not teaching our youth their edge.
I totally agree.
Right?
Totally agree.
We need to find that in them, and they need to find it in themselves. They need to know it's there.
Right.
Right? Because they have it.
Yeah. There's a sense of urgency.
Yes, sir.
Right. Sense of urgency. You don't get that on TikTok, I don't think.
No, sorry.
Just a guess.
Missed it.
Just a guess.
Yeah.
There's so much for our youth here. How you behave in private, you win in the preparation, the edge.
The edge.
That's powerful.
The edge.
I want to talk about coaching. Because I believe in a society, coaches have one of the greatest opportunities of any profession. And I've said that for a long time. Like I wish I had like a second life, because I'd like be a high school coach for 40 years at the same school and build just like a powerhouse, not necessarily all winning, but a powerhouse of young men. Mm. That would be like my dream. So I don't know, that's not gonna happen. But I think that high school coach, that youth coach, youth center, that, you know, college coach, that has a role and an opportunity. I remember things, some of them are bad, from my high school coach that he said to me. I remember them like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to
yes.
me. Like one time, I can't use all the words on television, but like, you know, again, I told him before we came on, you know, the thing about me in basketball, I was short, but I was slow. So, but we were in the locker room one time at halftime. He says, Wilson, I put Wilson in the game. He goes in there where angels fear to tread. That's what he said. He drives in there where angels fear to tread. You know, I'm like, so I never forgot that. Point is, coaches, the words of a coach come down, mean something. Like you really, talk about the opportunity as a coach that you have with young men. You're doing that right now. You're in that business. You're shaping young
yes.
men. And it's well beyond basketball. Talk about what you love, or talk about that for a minute.
So first of all, to me, coaching is teaching. It's another word for teaching. To me. So there is a social aspect to coaching. Times have changed. Coaches cannot get away what they used to get away with. Kids are different these days. Pros are different. There's a different mindset. We used to play in high school, and if you weren't at the game, you may wait for a newspaper article the next day to come out to find out what happened. Now, when the buzzer goes off, the whole world knows what happened. They know how much you played. They know how many points you scored or didn't score. They know, they know everything. It's a lot of pressure on these young minds. Mm-hmm. Coaches need to understand that the communication level that is needed for these kids these days has to be top-notch. If you are not a social person and you don't have a good feel for connecting with a young person's mind, you're going to fall short. Sometimes it pays to have a conversation about life, about surfing, about whatever, outside of basketball first. First. Some coaches that are not genuine, athletes are geniuses at sniffing that out. Geniuses. Contrary to popular belief, athletes are geniuses at knowing if you really, really care. Knowing if you know what you're talking about. They know if you're a copycat. I mean, there's a lot that goes into the dynamic of the coach-player relationship, coach-team relationship. So there's two. If we have 13 players, I need to connect with every single one of them. It doesn't have to happen in a day. It doesn't have to happen in an hour, but I need to make sure I connect with every single one of them, and they have to feel my love first. Now I can coach you because now you know I'm coming from a place that has an interest in your better life, your better manhood in this case. I'm coaching
you. You're caring about them, not just wins and losses.
Right, because to win, I need a performance level. I need a thought process. There's a level of obedience. There's a buy-in that I need. There's a commitment I need. Right. I have to commit to you first. How can I ask that of you if I don't show it first? And so you're coaching the players individually, and you're also coaching the team. So that's a group. You have individual minds that make up the team, and together there's a team mind. That's why Golden State is so good. They're not the biggest, their culture. They're not the biggest and the strongest team in the NBA.
Yeah.
But they have a team mind that is excellent for basketball.
Phil Jackson did that well, didn't he?
Phil Jackson had some of the best players in the world and got them to play under the mindset that was very productive. Scottie Pippen.
Dennis Rodman.
I mean, Kukoc, Steve Kerr. You had, like, we can just name the roster. And to get that team to play like they played, Phil Jackson was magnificent at that. Let alone the talent level he had.
Helps to have some talent.
It helps to have some talent. I don't know if it could have happened without Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, those guys. I don't know, but he did have them, so it did happen. We don't have to talk about that. Right. It doesn't matter.
Right.
That's the team he had.
Right.
And so if Phil approached that situation in a wrong way, they wouldn't have won.
Yeah, right. A lot of coaches could have had that roster.
A lot of coaches screw it up.
Right.
So
what you said about caring for the person, Bill Walsh wrote a book and talked about that. He talked about, if I care for the people, the scoreboard takes care of itself, which I think is also a lesson for business. If you're running a company, the people, that's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
The coaches, sometimes short term, it could be just thinking about scoreboard.
Imagine I'm trying to get the best out of a player, but I've never talked about what his best is. That's the social part I'm talking about. I want you to define what the next version of yourself is. If you can't do that, I'll help you, but most likely you'll be able to do that because you know what you want to do. You know what you want to accomplish on the court. How do we get you to do that? Let's talk about that first. There's my interest in you. Let's share that dream together. Now, if you don't do what we talked about, I can hold you accountable. And this goes for any of the players. It doesn't matter if I'm talking to you about what we talked about in front of the players. We've already done it in private. I need you to do it with your teammates so I can hold you accountable. And I can be as direct and as thorough to that as I can, because we have already have a relationship. We've already had a dialogue about what you want and what I'm sharing in that with you.
So good. That's we have a shared vision for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You're not alone.
Right.
You are not alone anymore. I don't care what happened before you got here. I'm different. And I may do some things that are a little Larry-ish, you know? It could be, God made me unique.
Yeah.
There's gratitude for that.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So how you want to be, and you've defined that, I'm sharing that with you. Now I'm going to hold you accountable. I will not let you settle for less. I will not let you act like you're less than that. I'm going to hold you to that standard, and we have an agreement, and it's out of love. So if I talk to you directly and I discipline you in front of everybody, don't get embarrassed. We've agreed that you're going to the next level, and I'm going to help you do it.
It's so great. You have a great family.
Yes.
Talk a minute about your faith.
I grew up going to church every Sunday, not every Sunday, a lot of Sundays. With my dad. My parents, wonderful people. My dad was from Columbus, Mississippi. My mom from Tuskegee, Alabama. Both grew up in the church. And so I remember being very familiar with church. And as a believer, I went overseas and I played in Cyprus, near Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And I met some believers over there. And they took me under their wing. And do you know I got baptized and saved in Cyprus and got reintroduced to scripture in church in a whole different country? I was already familiar. I grew up in the church. It was time for me, as I was early in my professional career, to take it up a notch. And God wanted to show me that I am His. I am His, and that faith really is what saved me from a lot. Sometimes in college, we meet people, we get into this, we get into that, we party, we get a little wild sometimes, right? If I was going to play professionally, I had to live my life in a certain way that would fit into the formula of the components that make up a professional athlete,
mm-hmm.
that's trying to get to his best version of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Without God in my life, that doesn't happen.
You wouldn't have played 19 years.
I wouldn't have played that way, no. No, I wouldn't have lasted, I wouldn't have had the mindset, the mentality, and the love in my heart to really dedicate myself and to treat people in a way that we as servants of God do.
Yeah. Oh, amen. Good grief. He should be my mentor.
Really?
I don't know. It's on camera. Say yes.
Yes.
I love it, Larry. What a life. Amazing. Your parents, are they gone?
Yes, yes. My mom first, and then my dad. And so that was a very tough time, and that's part of I call it carrying the torch. So
that's a moment, isn't it?
That's a
when
moment.
You lose your parents.
Yeah,
you're taking something to carry on.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've never known life without them.
Right.
I've never known life. You can always pick up the phone and call,
right, right.
And say something. We just don't know life without our parents, well, in my case. And so it's still a very soft spot. You know, like I'm touched right now talking about it. What they did, I really believe I was raised by two angels.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was provided an environment of love and encouragement, discipline. My dad was a psychiatric social worker.
Hmm.
My mom was a social worker for the government.
Hmm.
So there wasn't a lot of unnecessary, reckless yelling going on.
Right.
There was discipline. there was discipline. There was punishment. I know what it's like to be spanked.
Right.
See, growing up, now they'll call the people on you.
Right. He was spanked. Look at him. He turned out okay. God love him. God bless your parents.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yes. I agree with that. Wow. We were out of time like 10 minutes ago, but do you want to keep coaching a while, do you think? When you think about your life, what do you see going forward, this next chapter?
Right now, we have a team I may work with from 13 to 17 young people a day. And I love the question, thank you for that, because there is something that is on my heart. I want to reach 17 times 17,000 kids.
Yeah, yes.
So how does that happen? It happens through books, it happens through movies, it happens through short series, shows, TV, it happens a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So it's hard to answer that question in a definite way saying, yeah, I want to coach for the next 20 years. When I know that God may have me do something where I reach more.
Yeah.
I feel that has been put in my heart.
Yeah.
In my mind. And that's possible. These kids need to know that if they can improve, and we'll save this, I know this interview is getting close to, I want to save a topic. If they can improve every day and how to do that, who is showing them how to do that?
Right.
Who knows how to do that?
Right.
And how do they connect with that energy? Mm-hmm. Right? How do I reach the multitudes with the information?
I think that's such a great vision.
Yeah.
We should talk more.
Yeah.
We've got some ideas too. Yeah. What's your last topic?
I want to talk about belief and I think that for the youth to believe in themselves, it takes self-talk.
Mm.
I grew up thinking that if people talk to themselves, they're crazy. Right? It's the opposite. I want young people to know that your imagination and your self-talk is your champion.
Mm.
Is your champion. They're getting all these messages, all this stuff from social media and from the outside world.
Right.
Right? There's something so pure inside of them that they need to connect to, and they can do it with self-dialogue in their own imagination, which breeds meditation.
Right.
Which breeds a higher level of thinking.
Right.
They have power that they don't know about, and I think they should know that.
Yes. What voice are you listening to?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even if it's your own.
Right.
What is that voice saying?
Right.
And let's control that voice and empower you with your own voice.
Yes.
First.
Yes. So good. Wow. Larry Lewis, everybody. UCSB basketball, head coach Joe Pasternak. Larry is wonderful part of the team. Tell Pasternak that I'm still waiting on my UCSB polo shirt.
You want a polo?
The mail could be bad around here. So just tell him it's been 2 years. The mail can be bad. But, you know, just tell him I'm still checking the box every day for my UCSB polo.
Well, how about this? Now that I know that, right? I don't think it'll be another 2 years, Dean.
Good, I hadn't been there. What a pleasure. This is so much fun.
Thank you, Dean.
God bless
Thank you.
You.
It's a pleasure. Yeah, bless you, brother. Yes.
Larry Lewis, everybody. Wonderful. Have a great day. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.